If you'd like to read with us in 1 Corinthians, in the first chapter, I'll start reading at the 18th verse. And listen close to these scriptures. I'm afraid today we've got such a different standard than what was back in the disciples' day. Today we want men that's highly educated. We want churches that are so massive and so many things going on in them that it keeps us so occupied. It's more a community thing than it is a way of worshiping God. And a lot of people will sit and listen to a message that has been prepared by some preacher, and they go away, but they felt nothing. It was good sounding words, but it affected nothing. And you and I, we need to come back to the point where maybe the message that we hear is that would open up our heart and our mind unto what God's requiring of us. I don't know how many times I've had preachers to tell me that they don't want to preach on certain things, or if they preached on certain things, it would upset people. Well, if the Word of God upsets you, it's better for you to be upset here than it is to be upset when you stand before Him and have to give an account of those words. And you and I, God didn't send the Scripture here not to affect us. It's going to affect us one of two ways. It's either going to make us feel good, or it's going to condemn us. It's going to enlighten us and show us what God's requiring of us and lead us in that path, or it's going to condemn us for not walking the path that God has laid out. And, a preacher that will not tell you the truth and warn you when you're living contrary to the Word of God is not your friend. And a preacher that will not tell you the truth does not deserve your attendance or, obedience to him, for the simple reason that God has put us here, all ministers, not just a certain few, all ministers are charged to preach the Word. And you and I, he said that the Word was given for correction and for rebuke. And that's not something that many people hear in churches this day and time. But here in this scripture I want to read to you, Paul here is explaining to the people, basically, I guess you'd say, a little bit of what his duty is. Let's just read it. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jew require a sign, and the Greek seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Now, here Paul in that 23rd verse said, but we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Now, Here he was basically saying that those that don't believe in the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ, they have become and made themselves, because they won't accept this, foolish. And here he said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. And today we still live in a day and a time when people don't want to be reminded of the blood that was shed there on Calvary. They don't want to be reminded of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. They want to think of ourselves as being so intelligent. Just because man has figured out a way to pressurize a ship and to send it out into space, and the man to be able to live there in that condition, we think, oh, we're so bright, we're so intelligent. But yet we don't even know what lies out in space. We've seen out there with telescopes, but yet we've never seen to the very end of it. Why? Because God is the one that created it, and He knows everything that there is to know about it. He knows all the planet. Today there is a spirit about how many there is even orbiting our own sun. The count was out beyond that, yet God created everybody. And He knows all that there is to know about it. And you and I, our wisdom is foolishness in the eyes of God. You know, I like to go out and look at the night sky. And when you see the Big Dipper up there and those stars that makes that and forms it, they are literally light years apart. My God was so big. He created that knowing there'd be a time when man on earth would look up and see that and will marvel at it. But God knows to the very end how far each one of them is apart. And we can't begin to imagine. We can't begin to understand the wisdom of God and the purpose of Him putting these things in the sky. But God in His wisdom, He is so much brighter than man. You and I, we may never figure any of it out, but God still knew the purpose of it. But above all of it, He had a purpose in sending His Son that man has not been able to figure out today. In all of our wisdom and our intelligence, we can't begin to understand what was in the mind and the heart of God that He would give His Son for such an evil and adulterous generation of people. But it was love beyond us understanding. And He knew it was the only way that man could be redeemed. And because of that, He was willing to do that for us. And I realize it's hard in this day and time for the educated people to think that something like that was done and that it really meant something. And they try and act like it's nothing. They try and think that we're just deceived in accepting that. But, you know, if God did not exist, if God had not created all the things that we see, if God had not breathed life into the breath of man, man does not even have enough sense to realize life would not exist. We act like and we think it just all comes about by accident. But it was a master plan of God. And you and I, whether we want to recognize God or not, it makes no difference to God. He's still there. He's not dependent upon us accepting Him as being God to make Him something. He was already something before you and I was ever thought about, before this world was ever thought about. Because God the Father and God the Son was already there when they created all that we see today. People like ask the question, well, what was He doing before that? I don't know, and He didn't see fit to tell us, so why worry about it? There's coming a time we might know. When we get to heaven, if we live for Him, maybe He will give us that knowledge if we need to know it. But you and I, what do we need to know any more than that we needed a Savior? And there's only been one. What more do we need to know than the Scripture that God sent? Though it may be foolish unto a lot of people, it's still salvation unto those that will believe. It's still the power of God. You and I, unless we're willing to accept those words, they can't be alive. Christ said, I am the living word. And you and I today, if we can accept that and truly set it free, His word, it can truly come alive within us and change us, make us into a new creature. Guide us in the truth of the Lord. Give us understanding and purpose in life. Help us to overcome the things of this world. Though men might be highly educated and they think that they know so much, and they don't recognize that God is still, and they don't recognize the power of God, then when God looked down, He looked upon every employee. Though I don't have a lot of education, I was set and listened to a new strong girl. And this woman, all that, the way that she was criticizing the things of God, and talk about this covering that they supposed to make, that was supposed to be bones of Christ, but yet nobody can prove that. Why? Because Christ is the only one that died and buried, and yet after that, people have handled it, even ain't with them. You and I today, none other is done there. There's such a brave witness, such a strong witness, that Christ rose from the dead. Man has not been able to dispute it, no matter how hard we try. And this woman, in all of her education, when she went to talking this way, and these men that she was interviewing and talking about it, I thought, how foolish. How foolish, with all of their education, so blinded to the simple things. You know, according to the Bible, He said He made the way so plain, though the man be a fool or a wayfaring man, he need not err therein. That means somebody that's uneducated. That means somebody with not very much means here in this life. But yet, we look around and we see somebody that has great wealth and high education. And we say, well, what they say must be true. No. God said He would confound them. You and I, He said, blessed are the poor, for they shall have the gospel preached unto them. Blessed are those, in other words, that don't let the intelligence of this world, the things of this world, hinder them from seeing what should be so plain unto us, the love of God, how special He is. Now, I ain't saying that a person that's got a lot of education can't be a Christian. They can. Any person, I don't care who it is, the Bible said, whosoever, you and I, that included every one of us, we can come unto the cross and be forgiven. We can repent and find forgiveness. But we cannot think that we are so smart that we can make it on our own or get by. You know, nobody can be saved but through and by the blood of Jesus Christ. And it makes no difference who we pray to, what God we accept. You can go back. Here, if Paul was speaking here, you'll find in Paul's day, there was a lot of different gods and things that was worshipped. And there still is today. But God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit is the only Godhead that's ever been proven to truly exist. Why? You know, man can not understand it, but you can take doctors. And doctors, though they're not Christians, some of them have... And I ain't saying all doctors aren't, but those doctors that are not Christian have already testified to the fact that a person that has faith in God seems to recover better from surgery and all of that. Well, you and I today, it makes a difference When we've got one that we can hold on to and believe in. When we've got one that said, I'll go with you all the way, even to the end. I have literally seen people, one woman in particular, Claire Clemens. I was there in the room when the doctors had given up on her and she was literally spitting up pieces of her lungs. And he said, she'll be dead in just a few hours. He said, what you're seeing in that pan is her lungs that she's spitting up. The cancer is healed so bad. But God healed her of that. And she lived 15 years and did not die of cancer. Why? Because I serve the God that when the doctor said there's nothing that can be done, God said, I'm the one that created it, and I can still do all things. You and I today, God, I know people die every day, good people die every day. Why? Because he said it's appointed unto man once to die, but after death the judgment. But yet God proves himself every little bit unto man that I'm still God. And all God, every bit before God, and eternally born again, they get such a change in their life that for the rest of their day they can testify, say for a journey, I know God lives. Why is that? The devil can't make it out. And it's real. And, you know, here he said, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. You and I, though the world may look at the preaching of the cross as being foolish, if we've been born again, we realize what that cross represents. If it hadn't been for Christ being willing to die such a death there on Calvary, to redeem us of our sin and raise victorious, we would still be in our sin. It took a perfect sacrifice. Look back at the Bible. God wanted them to bring a lamb without blemish and offer it for a sacrifice. And you know, they was lambs that was brought in that was killed thinking they were perfect. But when they began to go inside of them, they found that they had deformities. They weren't perfect. And they could not be accepted. But look at Christ. God the Father knew he was perfect inside and out. It wasn't something that had to be examined after he was dead to find out whether he was perfect. He knew beforehand he was. And Christ, what did he do there in the garden? He said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, thy will be done. And he told him, I could call for a legion of angels to deliver me. But that was not the job that he come to do. He come to surrender unto the Father's will that we might have a way. The love that it took of the Father to give his Son, and the love and the obedience of the Son to be willing to go, is what it took to make way for me and for you. And in this day and hour in which we live, it still is there for all those who wants to believe, for all those who wants to be a Christian. But you and I today, it's within reach. But first of all, we must see ourselves lost. You know, here in this 21st verse, listen to this. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You know, you take a message that is presented, read off, just spoke, the word spoke just perfect and just so. There's nothing about that that looks foolish. But you take a man that's anointed from God that gets up and begins to preach, tears flowing, sweating, maybe mispronouncing some of his words. But if that's what it took to please God, that was the way for man to be saved, who are you or me to disagree with him? You know, I ran from preaching a long time because that was my argument with God. Just like Moses. Moses thought he could speak good enough, so it ought to be somebody else. Well, I was the kind that I couldn't get up and speak in front of a group of people, so I figured it had to be somebody else that could do that, that'd be much better at it. But that was not what was God's will. And you and I, it makes no difference where we do the job the best of everybody on the face of the earth. It's just where we give God our best. That's all that He asks. And look at Paul there. In all of his preaching, all of his testimony, Paul still ended up dying because he did what God asked of him. You and I today, if we think the world's going to praise us, if we think that we're going to be well thought of because we take our stand for God, you're going to be deceived. Because when you take your stand for God and stand upon God's Word, the world's not going to like you. The world's going to persecute you. And just as they did back then. You know, I heard a man make the comment about he just was describing Christ and just what He was. And just think how people should treat somebody like that. And then he said, but we crucified Him. You and I today, you might say in your mind, well, if I go and tell somebody how wonderful God is, they'll love it. You know, that was my biggest disappointment. When I went to preacher, I just thought, if I could explain to everybody just what that I have with the Lord, how that it makes me feel, I know that they'll accept it. Though I can't speak good, though I'm not smooth with my tongue, if I can just get them to understand that, I know they'll accept it. And my biggest disappointment was when people heard instead of understanding what it happened, they pushed it away and rejected it. Why? It made them feel uncomfortable. Well, it did me too when I was in sin. But when I come to know God, they were no greater comfort than to know that your sin had been forgiven. That they condemned me before brought joy to my heart. You and I were uncomfortable with the words of God. It's because they condemned us. They reveal what we are. They show the sin in our lives. But when we come to the Lord and we're forgiven, it brings joy. You know, the Sunday I got right with the Lord, when I went to church that night and the altar call was given, how wonderful I felt that I could look that preacher right in the eyes with no condemnation and know that my sin had been forgiven. How light I felt, just almost like I was floating above the floor a few inches. You and I today, that's how real God is. He can make a difference in your life. And Paul was trying to get that across to the people in his preaching, that if we don't accept Christ, then we're foolish. But we show forth wisdom when we accept the plan of salvation and what God has laid out. Why don't we get some song? If there's one that you feel like that you need to pray, will you come? You know, each and every one of us, there've probably been times that we thought when we heard a preacher preach and seen how hard. You know, I've said this many times. Preaching a message for a half an hour, 45 minutes, takes more out of me than 8 hard hours of work. And people can't begin to understand that. And because of that, I guess they think, well, that's foolish. But if you only knew how good it makes you feel. You know, even when I used to be able to really do a hard physical day's work, at the end of the day, I felt good to be physically wore out. When I went in and sat down, I felt good because I knew I had given my best for that day. You and I, there's no greater feeling than to feel exhausted after giving your best for the Lord. There's no greater feeling to sit down just totally exhausted and just drift off to sleep and wake up feeling so refreshed and so clean and so happy because you know you did your very best for God. While we stand and sing, if there's something in your life that you need to pray about, now's the time. When the death angel calls your number, it's too late. Is there one?